you so very much for such an incredible worship team tonight. I tell you, Wednesday night, you can be seated. Wednesday night, we're in a series on emotional, healthy spirituality. It's been challenging. It's been very challenging for my wife and I, in the sense that we are helping out on Wednesday evenings in a 2- and 3-year-old class. And we are enjoying it. I'm learning how to build Lego structures all over again. And my wife's learning how to change diapers. I don't do diapers anymore, okay? Just letting you know, but it was so funny this past Wednesday night. Little Adelia Lidl, I think. She was changing her diaper, and this is so cute. And it was a ripe moment in there for a little bit. And, you know, my wife's like going around sniffing, and I'm like, I think it's over there. It's hard to believe that something's so cute and so sweet. But we know, we've been there as parents. So my wife goes and gets her and starts changing her diaper, and she puts her new diaper on her. And little Dahlia walks away, and she gets about 3-4 feet away, and she pulls her little dress up. She looks down. She looks at my wife, and she looks down. She turns around. My wife's like, I think I got that on backwards. She's like, you know, thanks for changing it, but you got it on backwards. There's a whole lot more bulk in the front than there normally should be. So could you please fix this? So we had a good little laugh, and we fixed it, and she was all good and set to go. So and, it's great. We're having a good time. So thank you all for your prayers this morning. I went home yesterday. I teach at Purpose Institute, and went home and had a lot to do in the evening, and I took a little short nap. Anybody ever take a nap and you wake up, you wish you never would have gone to sleep? And I woke up feeling like I got run over by a train, and it just got worse and worse. And finally at 10 o'clock, I gave up and went to bed and called Brother Seidel and said, you're going to have to take cover for me this morning, but I'm feeling very good tonight, and we're going to get through this message. And I'm excited about what God is doing. And I want to thank Brother Jeffrey for the song selection tonight, if he chose those songs, because it's very, very fitting. And I'm just going to read make a very common scriptural reference getting started in this message tonight. We're going to be kind of all over tonight. And if you've never been to an apostolic church, welcome to an apostolic church here tonight. So I would like to begin tonight, as I said, with a very common scriptural reference. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. And repent means to turn away, or a turning point in one's life. So tonight we're going to talk about life's turning points. Over the centuries of human history, events that have had significant impact and events that have shaped that said history are oftentimes referred to as historical turning points. And if we were to take a look into our not-so-distant past, we could take, for example, in war, we could have a decisive battle or a major offensive that can prove to be the turning point in which the outcome of the war is decided. So if we go back to every war that has ever been fought in our history, we could look at that and we could say at this point in time, at this particular battle, the tide of the war turned, and this battle was a turning point for the war. We go back into our Civil War, the American Civil War, and many of you have heard of the Battle of Gettysburg. Took place in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, where General Hancock's forces had held fast, and the Union Army during that particular Battle of Gettysburg, took the upper hand. And if you go back in history and you look at the Civil War, you could say that this particular battle, this particular battlefield, this particular group of men on a battlefield was the turning point. You look at World War II, and you go into the Pacific, and you go into the Battle of Midway, where that the United States was facing Japan in their first all-out right lay it on the line, winner take all type of a battle. And it was called the Battle of Midway because it took place literally midway between Pearl Harbor and the coast of Japan and in the Pacific Ocean. And then if you look in the West and you look at the war with Germany in World War II, you could say that the turning point of that battle was probably the Russians, of that war was the Russians' defeat of the German army at Stalingrad. We can look into Vietnam, and you can look into the Vietnam War, and we may have some Vietnam War veterans here tonight, and there was the Tet Offensive. The Tet Offensive was actually a victory for us. But due to the high level of casualties in that particular battle, it broke our will to win the war. Thus, it became a turning point for us losing the battle for the country of Vietnam. We can look at all across history and across nation after nation, countries have reached turning points in their history. When I look here at America, I feel that America, we have reached a turning point. The American people, we can no longer blame the sin on our leaders. We can no longer blame the sin in our country on our judges. We can no longer blame the sin in our country on Congress. We can no longer blame the sins on our leaders because America, we have approved of their sins. We have confirmed our sins. We are authorizing our sins. We have consented to the sin, and now we are endorsing the sin. Whether we like it or not, America, we are at a turning point. We now own the sins of this country because we have taken it in and we said we are good with it. When we look at life, life is filled with turning points. Some of these turning points are intentional. Some of them are unintentional. Sometimes life just throws us a curve. And the effects are life-changing in a positive and or a negative way. We all have unexpected circumstances that can have tragic consequences. You hear things and the office says, like, the accident that she or he was in changed the course of their life and they were never the same after that. We maybe perhaps we know someone in our own immediate families that had the death of a spouse and they never quite got over that particular death. So their life, that death became a turning point for their life. Perhaps maybe you're here tonight and you've lost your job and your job was everything you were. It was your identity. It was all about you. You put a lot of stock. It gave you self-value, but you lost your job and that losing of a job, your life began to take a turn for the worse, and that was a turning point in your life. We know of many young men and women that go off to war and they come home from war, and it was a turning point. I know my own father-in-law, before he went into the army as a young man at age of 18 in World War II, before he went in, he was somewhat very much of a happy type young man. There's pictures of him smiling and laughing with the family, but after the war, it was a turning point. And there's not any pictures of Larry Michaels smiling after the war for many, 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 many years. It affected him. He was a different man. On the other hand, tragic consequences, tragic circumstances can also have very positive consequences in our life. For example, he received that drunk driving ticket, and that was the wake-up call that he needed. Because as far as I know, after that experience, he never took another drink of alcohol. I thought it was all lost when the business failed, but it turned out because of the failure of the business, it opened up other opportunities, and the failing of a business was a blessing in disguise. Some turning points come about because someone else cared enough or dared enough to intervene. when it comes to turning points, the good news is that in many ways God gives us grace to choose which direction we want to go. As a young person in college, for example, you can choose to join the army, or you can go to college, or you can get married and you can take up a particular trade. As an older adult, as retirement looms closer and closer, you can choose to keep working or you can retire. You can choose, if you choose to retire, you can choose, do we want to venture out and travel around the country, or do we want to stay closer to home? It's up to you. Yet there are times when it comes to turning points in our lives that we consciously say to ourselves, from now on, how many times have we said that from now on, and that from now on becomes for you the start of a new life? Perhaps today, as you sit here and begin to process in your own mind, as you begin to think over the perhaps not so distant past, or perhaps years ago, you're reminded of that one moment, that one decision that was made, and that decision, whether for the plus or for the minus, became a turning point in your life. In the poem Robert Frost, he spoke of turning points when he wrote "The Road Not Taken." Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down as far as I could, but where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay, it leaves no step and trodden black, yet I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on the way. I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverge in a woods, and I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. You say you may be at a turning point in your life today, a place where you need to decide which way to go. So I encourage you to look to God, to trust God to lead you today down the right path. Life's turning points. When we hear what we've always heard, we will believe what we've always believed, and we will have what we've always had, been who we've always been, and known what we've always known. You see, life's turning points. We are at a turning point, church. We are at a turning point. I want to read tonight from John 3:1 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler. He was a member of the Sanhedrin among the Jews." You see, we must understand that Nicodemus was a person of prominence, a person of prestige. And we read into verse 2, "Then who came to Jesus at night and said unto him, Rabbi," rabbi meaning teacher, "we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs and wonders, these attesting miracles that you do, unless God is with him." Nicodemus, understand something, took a real risk and coming to see Jesus. No doubt that's why the scripture says that he came to Jesus at night. He didn't want anyone to see him. He didn't want his identity revealed. He knew that other members of the Sanhedrin would not approve if they knew he was visiting this Jesus, this Messiah. In fact, if had they known that he had gone there to visit him, there no doubt would have been dire consequences, and he would probably even be removed from his position as a leader of the Pharisees. Nicodemus spoke firsthand about the signs and the wonders and the miracles which followed Jesus. He had either personally witnessed these miracles or he had been given reliable eyewitness accounts of these miracles. But either way, there was no equivocation in Nicodemus' conviction as he discussed these happenings with Jesus. He knew equivocally, without a doubt, that Jesus Christ was whom he said he was. Nicodemus was smart enough to know that these miracles could happen only if God were with you. And as I read this story, and if you study this story, you could say that Nicodemus had reached a turning point in his life. He was ready to move forward into a totally new dimension in his life. He was tired of the same old religious rules of the past. And he was seeking for something that had more meaning, something that had more purpose, something at a new level and which he was currently experiencing. You see, instead of returning to what he had known and believed in the past, Nicodemus' turning point focused on dismissing all of those years of learning and the influence received from his religious teaching to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Calvary Gospel Church, the members, the saints of Calvary Gospel Church, we are in a turning point. Here tonight, I wish to encourage all of our preaching points because I believe this so strongly. As I begin to type all of this together, these words begin to flow out. Yes, we are in a turning point, and God sees exactly where we are. As he spoke to us tonight, he has seen the prayer. He has seen the sacrifice. He values the time that we have spent with him and the commitment to the city and the neighborhoods that we minister in. So I want to tell you tonight, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged because God is opening doors. Yet as we speak, God is fulfilling the promises that he has promised us. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Territory that was previously off limits before, you will be sowing and you will be reaping and you will be planting in. We need to prepare ourselves for the way of the Lord. I want to encourage Poinette tonight. Poinette will have a powerful apostolic church. It will be a church where love flows. It will be where people come from all over the community and surrounding communities. Why? Because they have a feeling, a sense of belonging, and a feeling and a sense of purpose. Revival Ridge, I wish to challenge you tonight. We will have a revival at Revival Ridge like it has never experienced before. A revival that will change not just the street, not just the people that live in the neighborhood, but it will change the entire side of town. It will flow. The Holy Ghost, God's power will flow like a rivers of water into that community. I want to encourage Brother Claude from African International Church that God is preparing. You need to prepare yourself. You need to prepare your congregation because God is about to blow open doors that you could never have imagined. They're going to be coming, Brother Claude, from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. Nations upon nations will hear the gospel because of African International Ministries. It's not because of Brother Claude. It's not because of the music. It's not because of the drums. It's because they feel the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. And our world is ripe for a turning point. Our people of this world are sick and tired of the same old junk being shoved down their throats by anybody and everybody. Nations upon nations. Sister Brown, I believe that in the neighborhood of Sun Prairie, Rolling Prairie, where you minister, walls are going to come down and barriers are going to crumble before you. Children, young people, families will be changed. And the revival is not going to stop at Rolling Prairie. It's going to spread through Sun Prairie. It's going to spread to Marshall. It's going to spread to Waterloo. It's going to spread to Deerfield. And then it's going to go north and east to DeForest and to Columbus. Stoughton, Brother Thomas, you better be ready in Stoughton, because God has given you a season to grow inwardly, but you are about to enter into a season of outward growth. God did not call you there just to be a small home missions work. God called you there to be a launching pad for His glory and for His power. So Stoughton is going to fall, and Edgerton and Oregon and Belleville and Evansville, because His power cannot be stopped. His power will not be diminished. We are in a turning point of faith, of healing, of miracles, because they will follow after the Spirit. When we look at our university campus, Brother Michael Tesh has long been a bastion of liberal thinking, but that's all about to change, because our young people of today are sick and tired of the same old regurgitated slime of the 1960s just being repackaged into a new brightly colored package. They're sick and tired of fighting other people's ideologies, and they're sick and tired of being used. And all God needs, all He's looking for, is a Philip, someone who will go into that restaurant, get out of their comfortable settings, will go into that library, will sit down with some person and begin to witness to them and talk to them, and the revival will spread throughout the university campus. Brother Fabian, Vosis Unitas, yeah, two get the Holy Ghost today. I want you to understand something. You may be new at your responsibility, brother, but listen, newness is not weakness. Don't ever understand. Don't ever let the enemy tell you because you're new at this that you're weak at this, because you're not weak at this. You are a powerful man in God, not of God, but you are a powerful man in God, and you are a mighty warrior in the Holy Ghost, and God is about to do a new thing in your ministry, because we are in a turning point. This church is in a turning point. You may think I'm just standing up here running off at the mouth. Not only do I believe this, because I know this, that we are turning into our destiny and our purpose and what God called us to do. Brother Fabian, God, He's got it all figured out. I'm telling you, it's going to be wild. It's going to be great, because it's going to be full of Him. And our aging saints, understand something. You may say, well, where do I fit in all of this? Listen, God is not done with you yet. As Brother Morton Bustard spoke about our bishop, listen, my wife and I have talked for some time envisioning a senior citizen service on Wednesday afternoons or Wednesday mornings between 10 and maybe noon. And our vision is to have pastor or bishop and his wife to take and conduct that service with many of the elders that are here assisting in that. Because if God is going to send us 20,000 souls, and we're believing for that, not every one of them is going to be 16, 17, 25, 30 years old. We're going to have a whole church full of people that don't like to drive after dark, and they're going to come here during the middle of the day, and they're going to begin to pray, and they're going to begin to worship, and they're going to begin to magnify God, and the power of the Holy Ghost is going to flow through them. Why do I know this? Because we are in a turning point. I know Brother and Sister Pena are not here tonight, but I'm telling you that God has got a ministry. Prepare yourself for rows and rows of deaf people waiting for you to lay hands on them. And as they begin to speak with new tongues, what does the scripture say? And these signs shall follow them that believe, that in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Our deaf ministry will become the greatest healing ministry within this church, because God is designing, building, putting together. I want to go to Calvary Gospel Church because I want to hear again, but I want to minister to those that can't hear. Brother Noah, Sister Renee, and the CIP, you're just at the tip of the iceberg. God rewards faithfulness. I just got to ask you one thing, Brother Noah. Are you in the building here tonight? Brother Noah, are you ready to rumble, brother? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because it's coming. It's coming. And it's not going to come in any likely source. It's going to come from all directions, all different ways, all different angles. You see, God is using you and will continue to use you. And why is that? Because, Brother Noah, you have never forgotten, for such as some of you, our men's ministry, our ladies' ministry, our youth ministry, our family ministries, our Sunday schools, our prison ministry. Brother Glenn, you better get ready, because God is sending a revival into our prisons and into our jails like never before. Brother Ted Kryaski, get the Bible study teams together, because we've got to get ready. 101, 201, 301. Yeah, are you ready to have 101 in the sanctuary? Are you ready to have 201 in the fellowship hall? Are we ready to have 301? Are we ready? Are we ready? We've got to wait. We've got to plan. We've got to prepare. To our ushers and to our security team, we got to get ready. Extra chairs, we got to set them out. Listen, the chairs don't do any good sitting over there, Brother Ward, doing nothing but collect dust. We need to get them ready. Get them ready to roll, so that when the people come in, we can fill them up. We can have our faith chairs, rows of chairs that are there by faith. I'm believing that God, because God has spoken and said, get ready, church. He has told us time and time again. He confirmed it again on Friday night prayer meeting. He's confirming it here tonight on Sunday night, that we are in a turning point. We are in a point where that worship team, I'm not going to miss you, worship team, get ready, because God didn't give you talent for the world. He gave it for you to worship, to lead this congregation into worship. And there's power in worship. Worship tears down the walls of the enemy. Worship destroys depression. Worship destroys anxiety. Worship takes away our frustration, and worship takes us. It takes this body of Christ right in to the throne room of God. God is turning us. This is not Pastor Roy. This is not Pastor Roy turning the church. It is God turning the church. I want you to understand something. This is a God thing. This is a God thing. And all I'm doing is trying to be get the stage set. I'm nothing more than a glorified stage hand where I can say, God, I have done all that I can do. I have put all everything together as I feel you have called me to put together. But God, it is ready for you to step in. It's ready for you to take center stage, because I can't heal one person. I can't give one person the Holy Ghost. I can't take depression out of your life, out of your heart, and out of your mind. I can't make your marriage any better than it is right now. But I have a God who says, listen, I can fix anything. I can fix anything. I can do all things. I can do all things. In the past 2 months, God has been slowly, step by step, turn by turn. If you haven't figured this out, then you need to wake up. We've had folks move in, and we've had folks move out. The Smiths, the Simons, the Simmons, and the Fork Paws. Listen, we are in a turning point, and God is moving all over this world. We are in the last days, and anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I am glad that I have made a choice years ago that I'm going to build my house upon a rock, upon this rock. I will build my house upon this foundation, and it will stand. That rock is Jesus Christ. We no longer have the luxury of time. Time is running out. I don't know about your lives. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm a hamster in a cage. You ever feel that way? That the faster you run, the faster the cage turns. And the faster I go, the faster life becomes. But listen, I'm telling you here tonight, I would rather wear out than rust out. Because God's church, God will empower us. He will give us the strength. He will give us the power. He will give us the authority in ways that has never been done before. I watched last Sunday night at the close of our service, people coming down to the altar. Let me say this. I preached a message a few months back, and boy, did I stir up a mess, because this altar, it is not for sale. It's not for one purpose. It's only for one purpose, and that is for the fire of the Holy Ghost to flow. I'm speaking symbolic here. You can get the Holy Ghost anywhere, any place, at any time, but at the altar was where the Spirit flowed. It was where the anointing flowed. It was where the fire came, and it was a place where God sent that fire down, and He will not ever allow a strange fire to inhabit His altar. I'm reminded, I was in study a few months back, and I began to question God about some concerns that I had, and I opened up my daily Bible study to this very topic. This is why it's so important that you have a daily devotion, because if you don't, you're going to miss out on what God is trying to tell me. And I opened it up, and that date, that daily devotion was strange fire at the altar of God. Listen, if the enemy can shut the altar down, he can shut anything down. I read from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. God sent down fire. That fire was to be kept burning perpetually and never burn out. It was God's fire. It came from heaven. Then the words of the song, may the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. I do not ever want the fire at this altar to ever burn out. But we can never replace the fire at this altar with strange fire. It has to be fire from God. God started that fire in Abram and Aaron's sons in their spiritual laziness, trying to prostitute the temple out, allowed that fire to burn out. Thus they introduced their own fire. I'm going to tell you that in the last days, saith God, He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. But it also tells me that there's going to be people rising up here and there and everywhere claiming that I am God. They're going to be claiming that I've got the gospel. They're going to be claiming, listen to me, follow me, false prophets are going to rise. Listen, church, we got to be very careful that we never allow this to happen at our altars. We'll never allow strange doctrine in this place. This is what we believe. This is what we believe. If this isn't taught here, don't bring it here. We're not interested in it. It's right here, the Word of God. People didn't even mourn for what had happened. It was Aaron's son, the high priest's sons. The people didn't even mourn because they understood the severity of the offense. We are all faced with turning points in our lives, church. Turning points that will lead us into an incredible new future in Jesus Christ are turning points that will lead us back into a world of frustration and bondage. We're given a choice, and tonight is a turning point in our lives. What are we going to turn to? What are we going to turn away from? Are we going to run from God, or are we going to run to God? We've got to be very careful, church, that we do not frustrate God. There have been times in my life I frustrated God, and God gave me some very clear warnings. Don't do this again. I don't want to frustrate God. When you understand God's purpose for your life, it should give you a sense of urgency that motivates you to change. Not change later, not change tomorrow, not change sometime, but beginning right here, right now, tonight. You see, God doesn't leave us powerless in this effort. He's given us direction and a path to follow to reach our ultimate purpose. And as we negotiate through life, if we watch our step and walk with purpose and we avoid the dangerous pitfalls and allow God's direction to guide us. That's what this, we're talking about this on Wednesday nights. Listening and understanding the voice of God. It's a shame that for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, going through the whole entire Dark Ages, common man could not read the Word of God. It came through a priest that stood over a podium. But I'm so thankful that today, that this Word of God, it's available to anyone who is hungry. It's time to take advantage of this moment, this day. You have an opportunity that God is offering you at this very moment, this time, the time right now to change and make God's purpose your purpose. Don't put it off any longer. God is calling you to change your life. Jesus stood on the Mount Olivet that day before he ascended up into the heavens and he gave instructions. And this has always been an amazing, puzzling story to me. He gave instructions to 500 men and women. 120 followed those instructions. 380 went home. Now, there's some teachings going around that we don't need a church. You know, we don't really need the body of Christ, that we can survive. We can do this on our own. I don't need a pastor to tell me what to do. I just want to use this little example to kind of blow your theory out of the water. Did the Holy Ghost fall on the 380 or did it fall on the 120? Where'd the 120 go? The upper room. Where was the upper room? It was in the Temple Mount, wasn't it? Historically speaking, that's what I understand it to be. Whether it isn't or not, doesn't matter. They all went to the same building. The upper room. 120. And what was in that upper room before the Holy Ghost fell? Besides body odor, I'm sure. Starts with a U, ends with a Y. Unity. Unity was developed in that upper room. That's why the 120 went there. Because they were already in unity with Jesus Christ when he ascended, and they went, and the other ones went home. There was unity there. And God says, you know what? I can move in a spirit of unity. The 120 did as instructed. God poured his spirit out on the 120. So our first step in turning, we started off with this scripture tonight, and I didn't go through the whole entire scripture, but we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent means to turn around. Repent means a turning point. What do we repent from? Well, I don't know about you. Before I came to the Lord, I could lie if I had to. Anybody here ever tell a lie? You better say yes or you're lying right now. Anybody ever here? Anybody here ever cuss? Say a cuss word? You don't have to raise your hand on all of these, I guess, but I have. I worked in construction, and I worked with some guys that it was like their vocabulary every day. It would wear you out. Anybody ever have problems with alcohol? Anybody ever have problems with drugs? Has alcohol or drugs ever done anything great in your life? Has it ever propelled you into a bright future? Or do you find yourself sitting in a 8x8 cubicle provided by Dane County? A little humor there. I hope you guys can go with that. Such as some of we were. You see, repentance is turning around. It's tired of life as it is. I got to a point in my life that I was so sick and tired of the same failures time and time and time again. I don't know about the rest of you, but I struggled. I worked at it. I tried to do right things, but I didn't always. I couldn't. Sometimes I couldn't get myself to that point. no matter how hard I fought, because I was trying to do it all on my own. I was trying to do it here. And the problem was here and here was corrupted, Brother Glenn. And the things that I had allowed in here and the things I allowed in here affected what I did. So I'm trying to rely on the same thinking that got me, the same thought process, the same brain. We can all day long, we can say, I'm different, I'm changed. And we can go in at the end of the day and we can still be the big mess that we are. Positive mental attitude doesn't work unless you got some Holy Ghost behind it. Okay? It just don't work. And I got frustrated and I kept fighting the same battles over and over again and losing those same battles, Brother Simmons, over and over again because I was too stinking stubborn to admit that I could get myself through this on my own. See, it was a pride thing. I had a problem with pride. And we all have problems with pride. I have a little saying. It's just a little bit of a joke of a saying, and you probably get a humor of it. Pride is what keeps you from walking around with a booger on your face all day. Okay? All right? You see that in the bathroom? How in the world? How long has that been there? You know, if you got no pride, you just walk around and show it off gladly. So it's not wrong to have some pride. But see, we can keep doing the same old dumb things over and over and over and over again and not get anywhere and then complain to everybody else around us that life's unfair. It's unfair because you're being stupid. I lived it. I know. I didn't end up going to jail, but I probably could have if I would have got caught some of the things that I had allowed myself to do. So, what is turning points? A turning point is saying, you know what? I'm sick and tired of the mess that I've been living for the last 5 years, 10 years, 15. I lived it for 15 years before I finally got sick of it. But you know what? Even though I was raised in a pastor's home, probably wonder, we kind of look at, this is my father, not my brother. Okay? We had a brother come here for years, literally. And I always wondered why he called him number one and me number two. And I said, wait a minute. I'm a plumber. I know what number two is. Am I really that bad? But he came to me one day and he said, man, did number one, your brother number one, preach it up today. And I'm like, my brother number one. My brother, he wasn't here this morning. My brother John, and he kept talking, and I'm thinking, who's he talking about? And finally it dawned on me, oh, he thinks that Bishop John Grant Sr. is my brother. He's my father. We had a lady, too, and we went to conference. Dad loved this. She thought we were brothers, too, and Dad got a kick out of that. Do I really look that old, or does he look that young? He looks that young. You're going to say that. You're sitting next to him. So I got sick of it. I said, you know what? Doesn't matter what social status you're on. Doesn't matter who your parents are. This is something you deal with yourself. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of just being sick and tired. And I said, you know what? I am the only one that can change this by admitting I can't fix this. So I found myself at an altar saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for my pride. Forgive me for my arrogance. Forgive me for my stupidity. Forgive me for my hypocrisy. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for lying, for cheating, for all of these other things that I've done that's really none of your business. Just forgive me for all of this. And I decided at that moment that my life was going to turn. And I was never going to go back. You see, right now, somebody else may hold the strings to where you are right now, but God holds your future. And if you commit to him, you may have a few battles ahead of you. Your problems aren't going to go away instantly. But I tell you what he'll do. He'll help you get through them. He'll guide you through them because we become a new creature. We become a new creature. What does that mean? That means we have a new mind, a renewed mind, our heart. We start to think different because we act different because we're feeding our minds on something different. So with that, if you could stand, our musicians could come. Repentance is turning around. Tired of life as it is. Tired of being used and abused. Tired of failing, messing up over the same old things. Tired of wasting your life away, spinning your wheels. Jesus says, I got this. I got this. Then Peter said unto them, turning point, and be baptized. And whose name are you baptized in? The name of Jesus. And you know what the incredible thing is? And I don't understand how water can do this, but you go down in the name of Jesus in baptism, and all of that junk that we've allowed to build up in our hearts and our minds and our lives, when we go down in baptism in his name, it goes, it's gone. And you know what the unique thing is? Is your family may remember your sins. People that you've committed offenses against may remember them. But the Bible tells me that he forgets my sins as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? You could go as far east as you want to go, and you're never going to run out of east. You could go west as far as you want to go, and you're never going to run out of west. That's awesome. And then he says, you know what? I'm not going to leave you in this condition. I got something even better for you. I got the power of the Holy Ghost. That's power and authority over the sin that comes against us. So Peter said unto them, repent, turning point, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the power, the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a process that starts with turning around. So as our worship team begins to softly sing, I want to invite you to come down to this altar. If you're tired of where you're at in life, you don't have to be just a hardcore sinner tonight. Maybe you're just frustrated with life and you said, you know what, enough's enough. I'm done with this. I want to move forward. I'm tired of always running against the same obstacles in my life. To invite you to come down tonight. Maybe you're desiring to witness to that one coworker and you just haven't got up the courage. That one coworker could be the next Philip, could be the next Eunice.
I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead, I'm here to declare to you. Over in you, all things are made.